genius.
The fully realized vision of an authentic American genius.
We need your brain.
Don't you have a brain in your head?
Oh, then I will have to adjust your brain a bit.
Every day, Billy the Brain talks with the best guests in America.
Cool.
About business.
The boss that works for you.
Entertainment. Sports.
Turning now to sports.
And the local community.
Radio keeps its eye on local events.
It's time for brainstorming.
My brain is like mush.
With Billy the Brain.
Sounds like fun. Let's go.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
My next guest has strong feelings about energy overuse and brings his thinking to a logical extreme to make his point about society. And if you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. James Howard Kunstler is an author, a critic, a public speaker, and a blogger. He's best known for his books, The Geography of Nowhere, A History of American Suburbia and Urban Development, and The Long Emergency, which we'll talk about today, where he argues that the declining oil production is likely to result in the end of the industrialized society as we know it. He's written science fiction related to suburbia, urban development, and the challenges of what he calls the global oil predicament. His latest book is a fiction book, The Witches of Hebron, and it's based on his groundbreaking work in The Long Emergency. Welcome to the show, James. How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you,
Billy? Well, I am doing terrific. Thank you so much for joining us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Now, you've got some very interesting and sometimes controversial thoughts about this. So lay it out for us. I mean, pundits have been saying since 1973 when we had the oil embargo that our oil reserves are going to run out. Yet we still find reserves deeper and deeper beneath the Earth's crust. Critics are saying, you know, that we're paying to fund terrorism whenever we buy oil from foreign sources. Yet our number one oil trading partner is Canada, those terrorists to the north. No doubt, you know, we're going to need to find new energy sources. There's no doubt about it. Solar or wind or thermal or even nuclear. But they're years away. An electric car is kind of a nice idea in theory, but we don't even have the infrastructure to be able to support it. So where do you stand on all this? What's the path that we're going down? Where's it going to lead us, James?
Well, a lot of the things that you said actually represent the misunderstandings of the American public. For instance, the idea that we have found a lot of oil recently. The discovery of oil peaked in the 1960s, and we haven't found more oil worldwide in any given year since around the early 1980s. And in fact, we're finding insubstantial amounts of oil in the 21st century. And we have a big problem, and we're in trouble, and we don't know it. As far as our oil importing partners go, yes, Canada's number one. But the exporting countries, the countries that send us oil, are using more and more of their own oil as their populations grow and they buy more cars. And the poster child for this problem is Mexico, which has gone from our number three source of oil imports to number six now. And in a few years, they won't have any oil to send us. We are in a real predicament. We have no idea what's going on generally. The public is completely misinformed and sleepwalking into the future. And this problem is combining with the fiasco of banking and the disappearance of capital to put us out of business as an advanced civilization.
Well, that's a pretty dire prediction. And let's just go back to the oil for just a minute and focus on that. Everybody agrees that at some point in history, we will run out of oil. We'll run out of that resource. And we're making a rush to try to find alternative energies. There are all kinds of tax credits available for people to explore that. But in reality, how quickly can we bring an alternative energy online to be able to sustain the type of society that we've built, the energy, the electric use, and everything else that we've got?
Well, first of all, you do have to understand that we are in trouble with our oil supply. That's an incontrovertible fact, really not subject anymore to dispute. The other part of this is that we need to understand that no combination of alternative fuels will allow us to run Walt Disney World, Walmart, the interstate highways, the U.S. military, and suburbia, or even a substantial fraction of it. And I'm not against alternative energy, but it's important for Americans to know that we will be disappointed by what these things can do for us. And the conclusion is not to get depressed and be a crybaby. The conclusion is that we have to make other arrangements for many of the important activities of everyday life in America, and we are not prepared to think about these things.
All right, well, let's talk about that. What sort of changes or what sort of other arrangements would you be referring to?
We have to face the fact that suburbia is a living arrangement with no future. We're going to have to return to living in neighborhoods, towns, cities. Our cities are probably going to have to contract and become smaller because our big, big cities are out of scale with the energy realities of the future. We're going to have to grow more of our food close to where we live. And the places where that's not possible, like Phoenix or Tucson, are going to dry up and blow away. We're going to have to do commerce differently because the economic formulas that make chain shopping and Walmart possible are going to fail. We're going to have to make other arrangements for getting around this continent because the happy motoring system and the commercial aviation system are going to fail. We're going to have to really retool all of our major systems, including our banking system. Unfortunately, our banking system is now in such gross disarray that all the money that we hoped would be there to reform the way we live in America is now vanishing at warp speed. So this is a very, very daunting set of problems, and we've got to get to work immediately.
Now, we're talking to James Howard Kunstler, everybody, and we're talking about his book. It's an old book, The Long Emergency, which is...
It's not that old. It's 2005.
2005. Well, in Billy the Brain's world, that's old. But you're right. It's not that old. It's 2005. And we're talking about changes to our lifestyle. I want to come back to one thing that you pointed out right at the top, which is cities. And you talked about the modern city and suburbia. That's going to have to change. But reality is that for the first time in human history, over 50% of the population now lives in cities like New York City, Rio de Janeiro.
That's a non sequitur, Billy. It doesn't matter. What that shows is the mistake of using statistical analysis to try to understand every problem.
All right. Well, explain how.
Reality has mandates of its own. And reality is going to compel us to live in smaller places, in smaller cities. We're going to have smaller buildings. Our skyscrapers are not going to work. We really have to make other arrangements in a pretty severe way. And we're not really thinking about this clearly at all.
All right. Well, so help me to think more clearly on this, then.
All right. Let me give you an example, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Probably the most important project that we need to do right away is we need to restore the American passenger railroad system.
All right.
Because we're going to get into such trouble with motoring and gasoline and commercial aviation and aviation fuel that people are not going to be able to get around this country. This is something we should have done 20, 30 years ago, but we didn't do it. And it is dreadfully important that we do this immediately and start immediately. And it's really tragic that it was not a political issue in the 2008 election. Or for that matter, now.
It's definitely not. But you've got some issues there, Howard. Let's talk about that. I'm sorry, James. Yeah, I'm sorry. I slipped up. James, but passenger rail. So if we were going to build high-speed mass transit like that, say connecting Los Angeles to San Francisco.
No, wait a minute. You're assuming that we're going to build high-speed. We don't have the money to build a high-speed rail network now. It's too late for that.
All right, or even low-speed.
The regular conventional railroad system that is lying out there rusting in the rain.
And that it is. I mean, right now, even the low-speed connecting, say, Los Angeles to San Francisco can't handle both the traffic of passengers and the traffic of cargo. There just aren't enough rails laid.
We destroyed a lot of tracks, for example, in New York State, the CVX system, which is largely a freight system,
mm-hmm.
tore up the second track of the New York Central Railroad, which means that all the passenger trains have to step aside for the freight train.
That's my point exactly.
And we did it for a really dumb reason, because we have a punitive tax on railroad tracks in the state of New York that dates back from the way back in the 19th century when people thought that the railroad guys were the bad guys. But that shows how sclerotic our system is, that we cannot even make these reforms to allow ourselves to go forward. Now, let me tell you something else about this.
Mm-hmm.
We need a project that we can do as a nation to demonstrate to ourselves that we're capable, that we're competent, that we can understand the signals that the future is telling us. And that's another reason why we need to do this railroad project right away.
Sort of our generation's version of the moon launch.
Well, you could call it that maybe, but, you know, it's, look, we're going to have to rebuild our local networks of commerce. We're going to have to reform the way we do agriculture. These are huge tasks. And you know, we really need to begin somewhere.
I can understand that. Let's turn back to another individual item that you mentioned, which is farming. Now, that was very interesting to me because we need more commercial farming to be able to feed the world's population. We're at 6 billion and growing now. And mass farming requires mass energy. So
right.
How are we going to be able to do this?
The assumption that the world population is going to keep growing indefinitely is an incorrect assumption. In fact, we will get to the point where the planet Earth simply will not support the size of population that we have now. It'll start contracting at the margins in the poor places, in the poor countries, where people don't have anything. Worldwide grain storage is at an all-time low this year. The weather problems that are occurring around the world are causing crop failures in some of the major grain-producing places, like Russia, which had a terrible drought and fires in the grain-producing regions this summer, and is unable now to fulfill its contracts with the African countries who customarily import grain from there. That's just the beginning of a problem that's going to get a lot worse worldwide.
Well, don't
assume that the population is necessarily going to keep on growing forever.
But that's a Malthusian sort of prediction,
and he
was wrong in the 19th century.
No, he wasn't wrong. It's just that the oil age came along and, you know, interrupted the natural course of things. We've been, in effect, eating petroleum for the last 100 years, and now we're coming to an end of that. And, you know, we have to do things differently.
All right. I like this discussion. We're talking to James Howard Kunstler, everybody. We're just talking about the direction that the world is going in right now. So mass farming, we've talked about that. We talked about transportation as well, the death of cars, the death of airlines. It's interesting, this weekend I'm going to jump on an airplane to go someplace.
I'm going to jump on an airplane to go to an Australia on Saturday.
Are you really? Okay.
I am.
So, you know, we're still taking advantage of it, but how will we get to Australia, or how will I get to St. Louis if we have to rearrange and change our whole transportation infrastructure?
Well, you're not going to do it the way you're doing it now. But, you know, if we go overseas, it's likely, if we do make trips overseas at all, it's going to be by ship in the future. You know, maybe 10 years from now, we're going to start seeing that. And my guess is that a lot of the cruise ships in the world will be converted, you know, into transoceanic liners.
6,000, 7,000? I mean, these are 6,000 or 7,000 passenger vessels.
Well, they're not all that large. Some of them, you know, a lot of the Carnival cruise ships are a lot smaller than that.
Mm-hmm. That is true.
You know, the way you're going to get to St. Louis is on a train.
At least you didn't say Calistoga wagon.
It's not a wagon. It's a train.
No, no.
It takes a little longer than a plane, but if we're lucky, we'll be able to do that.
And
I want to remind you something.
What's that?
You know, Americans will be delighted to go from St. Louis to Chicago at 90 miles an hour, which is what we were able to do in the 1920s. And we can't do that anymore.
Interesting. James, we have a caller. Eileen is on the line. She wants to ask a question. Eileen, thank you for calling in. You have a question for James?
Yes, I do. Thanks so much. I wanted to ask about the issue of demand destruction. Do you think demand destruction will be enough to keep the price of oil slowly stabilized, or do you think that demand destruction might be we might eventually see the demand destruction play itself out and just start leading to the resource scarcity and then eventual really serious conflict?
Wow, great question, Eileen. James, what do you say?
I say that the oil markets themselves are one of the complex systems that we depend on for the activities of daily life. And they are going to become increasingly unstable. So, you know, the question of demand destruction is a very clouded one. I personally think what is going to happen in the immediate future is that we're going to have such problems with money and capital and banking that the price of oil may actually go down astonishingly low, but nobody will have any money to buy it.
So,
You know, at the same time, that will begin to interfere with oil production, and our, you know, the lack of capital is already affecting new oil production projects that we had hoped to bring online to offset the depletions, which are now being canceled because there's less and less money around.
Well, that and the ban on deep water drilling. Eileen, great question. Thank you so much for being a loyal listener. Thank you for calling in.
Thank you.
Well, James, I mean, we're talking, everybody, to James Howard Kunstler, by the way. Great discussion. So you've laid this out. What steps should we be taking if we buy into this and we listen to what you say? What steps should we be taking today in order to prepare for tomorrow?
Well, I think we have to really pay attention to what the future is going to require of us. And probably the two main things that we need to know are we're going to have to relocalize our economies. You know, it's unclear exactly how fine the scale of that will have to be. But most of the things, you can state categorically, most of the things that are organized on a giant scale now are going to fail, whether they are gigantic corporations or chain store organizations or giant state universities or even the federal government. All of these things are going to get into trouble. So we're going to have to do that. And we're going to especially have to pay attention to agriculture, because industrial farming, as we know it, is going to get into tremendous trouble, not just from shortages of oil, but from shortages of capital, because capital is one of the major inputs in industrial farming.
Right.
Farmers have to borrow tremendous amounts of money. So we're going to have to downscale and become much more local in our activities. That's the wave of the future.
And that's the wave of the future. James, if you had to take a look at it and peer into your crystal ball, what sort of time frame are you looking at?
We are in the zone of what I call the long emergency. We've already entered it. The turmoil is going to increase. The stability of the systems that we depend on, whether it's the oil markets or the food supply or the retail system, all of the problems that these things go through are going to mutually affect each other and ramify each other.
And we're going to have to leave it there, James. I'm sorry we're out of time. Fascinating discussion. Thank you so much for joining us here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. Coming up next is Living Your Inspired Life with Susan Burrell. We'll talk to you tomorrow.